You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
In terms of the players, I think it's a chance for them to reset and understand that once you get it after Thanksgiving, that's when real football starts. You know, again, it's cliche. That's one thing about the league, and that it gives you a chance to reset. So it's perfect timing for that. You got five games left. You got to take it a day at a time and you get a chance to reset, re-energize, and let's go get it.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
Got a text on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. That is the Radio Nation listener line and the don'tbebroke.com text line. It's all combined in one. It all came together like butt cheeks, and we like it because it's a lot easier around here on you. It's a lot easier on me, and that's how we like it to be. We'll hear from Robert Gallery. I had an opportunity to catch up with him earlier this morning at the 2023 College Football Hall of Fame class press conference. A lot of greats in attendance, including Robert Gallery, so you'll hear that conversation. But got a text from Mitch. And he said, hey, Q, I'll answer your question. If we're running it back with Aiden O'Connell and building around him for a bigger sample size next year, are we calling it a rebuild or not? I personally would like to see Aiden O'Connell again with an offseason to improve and a real head coach with a good head on his shoulders. Finger crossed for AP to stick around, but I also wouldn't be against us making a move to draft a quarterback in the first round. That's Raider MG, a.k.a. Mitch. I definitely appreciate him. And, yeah, look. I mean, I guess you can call it whatever you want to, right? When I thought that it wasn't a rebuild, it looked more like a rebuild than it wasn't, right? I mean, it just – I guess it's just in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, you call it whatever you want. If you look at the team – and I'm saying this from a front office point of view. If you look at the team and you say, okay, this team is ready to compete for this, but they're not ready to compete for this, then you make the decision. And, again, you can word it as a rebuild. You can read it – you can say it as a reload, right? You can say that you're not going to use the R word at all. That's fine. I mean, whatever the case may be, but you just have to realize and be honest. I think the biggest key is being honest with yourself. And I could come on the radio and be like, man, this team, this is Super Bowl bound. What I've seen from this team, here it goes. But then I'm not being honest with you, and I'm not being honest with me. And that's what the franchise has to do. They have to be honest with themselves, the coaching staff, the front office. Everyone has to be honest with where they are as an organization, where they feel like, okay, this defense could take us this far. This offense could take us this far. And when it gets to the quarterback could take us this far. And then when you realize that, okay, everything is kind of like driving a car, right? You realize how many miles you're going to get out of that car, then it's time to upgrade. Some cars go a little bit longer than others. Some cars don't. Right? Some cars you pick up later on when they already have a lot of miles, but you feel like you still can get a lot of miles out of them. Some don't, right? So you have to decide how far you can go with what you have. And if you're comfortable with that, then you roll the dice and you do it. If you say, you know what, this has got to be upgraded immediately, then you go and upgrade immediately. That's the best way I could really summarize it, but a really good text and really good food for thought as far as I'm concerned. Again, Robert Gallery, you'll hear from him in just a few minutes, but let's go out to Denver real quick, talk to our guy, Raider Dave in Denver. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. You know, I don't know about the comparison between our man who just spoke, Kennedy, who spoke about offensive line and Jesus, but I will say this. Jesus flipped tables, and that man went in the stands in Denver. So they both have an attitude.
True story.
It is. And I think attitude is what the Raiders need more of on offensive line. When we had Incognito, we had attitude. When we had Shell and Upshaw and Dalby, we had attitude. We had Wisniewski, we had attitude. Mm-hmm. And without that, I just don't know that you could get real far in the playoffs if you don't have the type of offensive line players that are going to be Pro Bowlers. If you look at anybody who's gone deep in the playoffs, at least in the AFC, there's Pro Bowlers on their offensive and defensive lines. And when you have that, iron sharpens iron. We already have Crosby, who nobody can block in practice. But still, you have to have these guys with attitude. Otherwise, it just doesn't get done up front. Aiden O'Connell, I think his ceiling is based upon the creativity of the offense he's asked to run. If Bo Hardigree can't look across, you know, the field and see what other teams are doing and get creative on shovel passes or, you know, the type of sweeps that he started to do, or bringing in a third tight end. How about a fourth tight end? Bring in Max, whatever. Get creative somehow, block the heck out of a side of the field, and get some yards on third down. I mean, he's got to, and we talked about this before, in my opinion, he's got to be comfortable in rolling out and viewing a levels concept to where the guy at the second level who is 13, 15 yards downfield knows that after a clock goes off in his head at 2.5 to 3 seconds, he's got to work his way back to the quarterback. You know, if it can't be a scramble drill in practice, then you're never going to have these Mahomes-type plays where things fall apart and you have to makeshift. You got to create on your own. And we'll never know that about O'Connell if he isn't let loose to try to do those things. And without the creativity on the offense, he'll never get the opportunity to be creative to do those things. At least that's my take. And I think Raiders win 24-17 this weekend.
Nice. Calling a shot right there. Raider Dave in Denver, great stuff. I like the attitude call. And you're right, man. That's what the offensive line is all about, though, right? Guys with attitudes. Guys with a little nasty. Guys that'll play through the whistle. Right, that was when the Raiders had the great offensive line. They had dudes that will do exactly that. Remember when they got Kelechi Osemele? That was a dude. That guy, he just had a different about him. Like, everything was different about that dude. Right? I mean, there was times when I remember talking to him in the locker room. I ran into him in Houston. I was still in Texas at the time, but I went out to the Texans game, and that was, matter of fact, Hunter Renfro's game where he scored his very first touchdown in his career. That was when Trayvon Mullen got his very first start as well with that team. I do believe. I think that was that day. I don't know. They all kind of run together, but I think that was that day. But, man, I remember he used to scare the mess out of folks in the locker room. There would be guys that would be hesitant to ask him questions, right, asking about the offensive line. That's right, because I asked Gabe Jackson about the offensive line as well. So, yeah, it was Kelechi Osemele and Gabe Jackson that I asked a bunch of questions to. But Kelechi Osemele just had a little something about him, man, where he just had a extra attitude about it. I thought it was awesome. But that's what you got to have, man. That's the kind of the anger that you've got to have. You're not anger, but just kind of nasty that you've got to have on that offensive line. I can really appreciate that. And we all know that's where it starts, right? Offensively, it starts at the offensive line. Of course, defensively, the defensive line. It always is in the trenches. You got to build up the trenches and build out the rest of the team. And I know Champ Kelly is very well aware of that. And I know that he's working right now behind the scenes, doing everything he can to do what he's got to do to get the team going in the direction that they can go, as he is the interim GM, with Antonio Pierce being the interim head coach. And, of course, Beau Hardigree currently the interim offensive coordinator. But speaking of offensive line, speaking of a little bit of nasty, Robert Gallery, I know he didn't work out to be fantastic in the NFL, but, man, he had some nasty at Iowa. He's going into the College Football Hall of Fame. That's awesome. Shout out to him. I had an opportunity to catch up with him earlier this morning over at the Aria Hotel. Here's that conversation.
Here with Robert Gallery, and we just had the College Football Hall of Fame press conference. You are an inductee into the 2023 College Football Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
You know, it's a huge honor. I'm obviously very humbled to be able to come back, especially with all these guys up here and these coaches. It's great to be able to look back at, you know, my college career and all the great people I worked with, played with, you know, was coached by, and just, like I said, very humbling.
This is a huge class, tons of talent up here. What were you thinking when you were hearing some of the speeches and some of the stories that these other guys had gone through?
You know, it's great. It's great to hear, you know, 20-some years later, we were all kids, the reality is, when we played college football, and we all grew up to be men, and it's great to hear the experiences. We all came from very different backgrounds. And it's great to see where guys came from, what they accomplished, and then just at the end of the day, we're all brothers, and it's very cool to sit down this many years later and talk with guys.
And you mentioned your story about you being a tight end in high school and transitioning to a tackle in college when you went to Iowa. What was that experience like for you?
You know, to me, it was just every day was just going there and work, and I was very fortunate to be coached by the guys I was, you know, to be Coach Ferentz. His first year was my first year in college. And then, honestly, our strength coach, Chris Doyle, you know, he came in and it was a guy I trusted in and a guy who obviously knew what he was doing. And it was when you work with guys like that, they get every ounce of talent out of you, even stuff you think you may not have. And it's more the mentality. It's the mentality those guys taught, and being with Chris Doyle in the weight room. I mean, I owe a lot to that guy just for my size, speed, and coming in, and they were able to build me from, like I said, a 220-pound high school senior So I owe a lot to those two.
We heard a story from Coach Kramer about high school football, and at some point, if you don't have a center, just, hey, Henry, you're going to be the center. Was that kind of for you? Like, hey, you know what? I'm a tight end, but I'm going to need to be the offensive tackle. I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah, it is, right? Because I came from such a small high school. Same thing. I played everywhere.
Yeah. At
one point, I was playing defensive end, and they would just run away to the other side, so they moved me to middle linebacker, right? It's like, hey, you go here. You know, we don't have a huge talent pool. And then the same at Iowa, right? We're a developmental program, always have been, and that's what's great about it, right? We come in, and they fit you where you're going to be the most productive. And that was kind of my role. I knew, hey, this is where you're going to be right now. Who knows what it'll be next year? But I just worked at that as hard as I could. And when they asked, there was, you know, what do you think about changing to offensive line? There's no question. Yes, sir. You know, that's whatever is best for this team. And you think's best for me. I trust in you. And it all turned out like it should.
Again, we're here with Robert Gallery as the College Football Hall of Fame press conference just got wrapped up. And so for you, what does college football just mean to you in general when you think about the game?
You know, to me, looking back at it, it is when you didn't think of anything else but going in, being with the guys, just grinding, getting better. There was, you know, up till my senior year, there was no thought of playing in the NFL. It was just about college football. There was, you know, today's so different with social media and all this. There was no grades. It was about the guys in the locker room. There was no stress, you know, no expectation really, or I didn't feel it. And obviously when you have success in my senior year, there's some expectation, but to me, it was just the pure enjoyment of the game, right? You go in, I look back on it and the times we had, the struggles we had, I think made it even better. The early on in my career at Iowa, we were not a good team. You know, 1-10, 3-7.
We heard a lot of those stories today,
right? So to be a part of that, I think you grow up as a man and just the pure joy of college football, college sports. You watch these kids now, and it's just that's what football is supposed to be.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that you never had dreams of getting into the NFL, but you go from being a high school tight end, offensive lineman in college, to the NFL, very high draft pick. What was all that like going through your mind?
You know, for me, it was – looking back on it, I never thought about too much as it happened. It was, especially as I started having success, it was on to the next thing, right? So now you get to look back and reminisce on it, because at that time it was all great, you know, awesome. I won this award, next.
Yeah,
what's next? And that was the mentality, and that's how you got better. But, yeah, obviously I never would have happened without the guys I played, especially as an offensive lineman, the guys I played with in college, being on a winning team. Obviously, the success our team had, you know, you look good when your team's good, right? So I owe a lot to the guys I battled with, the guys on our entire team and the coaching staff.
Well, you look like you can go catch a couple of passes. You look like you can get back into that tight end role right now. Got a couple of routes in you?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I need about 2 hours to stretch beforehand. But, yeah, no, it's you know, you get done. It's fun to see guys, too. You see some of these guys, you know, you either get bigger or smaller.
Right.
Most guys don't say looking the same. So it's pretty comical to see. Luckily, I was on the end of one of the guys. I wasn't getting bigger when I got done. I had to get the weight off. And like all these guys, you got the aches and pains to make yourself feel better.
Final question for you. Just to be an inductee into the Hall of Fame, just all in all, what goes through your mind? What does that mean to you?
I'm just humble. I'm very humbled, right? As you look back, and I know I had a great career, but it's still very humbling because there's so many great players over the years. Even at Iowa, to be the 10th ever player inducted, there was a lot of great, great players that I looked up to, and I'm like, how did I go in and they have it? You know, so I'm humbled. I obviously it means the world to me to be from Iowa. And then have gone to Iowa, and it's more for the coaches and the guys I played with, to be quite honest with you, because I know, you know, I wasn't the guy that could step off the bus, and you know, I had to work at it.
So
I look back, and you know, the work I put in is what I'm most proud of, because you know, there are those guys that can get off the bus, you know, get out of bed and go out and play.
Right.
Not that everyone doesn't work hard, but I was a guy that had to continually work on my craft, and I'm very proud of that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you.
Robert Gallery right there. I had an opportunity to catch up with him earlier this morning over at the Aria Hotel. There was just, I mean, a cast of great players and coaches in the same room. And, I mean, what a humbling experience. Coach Mark Richt from Georgia and Miami, he's in the building. Coach Roy Kramer, Central Michigan, he's in the building. Paul Johnson, Georgia Southern, Navy, Georgia Tech, in the building. Man, D'Angelo Williams, remember him at Memphis or the Carolina Panthers? He's in the building. Brian Westbrook from Villanova. Remember him as a running back in the league? Fantastic. Michael Stonebreaker, Notre Dame. Tim Tebow, Florida, obviously. Troy Vincent, Wisconsin and the NFL, you know, head of the NFL just about. I mean, he's been in the PA for the NFL PA for a long time. Troy Vincent's there. Bryant McKinney, you want to talk about offensive lineman? That's a big offensive lineman. Miami, the U. Bryant McKinney was fantastic. Jeremy Maclin. One thing I noticed about this, and I was talking to Jared in the hallway on the way into the station today, and I was telling him about the event and how I was just fired up to be there with all the players, and I was like, yeah, I got a chance to talk to Derek Johnson. I was going to talk to Jeremy Maclin, but I didn't get the opportunity to. And then who else? Oh, and then Eric Berry. I wanted to bring up Eric Berry, and then I was like, damn, that's a lot of Kansas City Chiefs representation. Right? I just realized that. I was like, damn, that's a lot of Chiefs. And I know Derek Johnson played for the Raiders for a quick minute, but he was fantastic, so I had to catch up with him. LaMichael James, Gallery you just heard from, Keekly, Terrence Mathis. I mean, just fantastic players. Michael Bishop at K-State, remember him? Fantastic. So that's a hell of a class right there. Lincoln said he's going to go to the dinner tonight, something that I wish I could have been at. I wish I had saw the future. I wish I had realized that I didn't have an ESPN show tonight because then I would have gone. Instead, I got to take the wife out to dinner. So, I mean, that's a good consolation prize, right? I mean, that's good. I'm always busy, so it's always nice to be able to, you know, get a few minutes to relax and chill and take the wife out to dinner. But, man, that dinner, man, that you want to talk about dinner?
I got a plus one option over there.
They do, but that's not really taking your wife out to dinner. That's taking your wife to work.
Right, yeah.
it's like when you remember back in the day, it was like, take your kids to work, take your wife to work.
I'm bored.
Right, exactly. Like, she would enjoy it. She's really a good sport. Sure, because she has no choice, right? Because I'm so deep into all these different sports, so she's always willing to, whatever we got to watch, let's watch. And, you know, over the weekend, we were going to go out and do some things. I was like, oh, I got to watch Alabama first. I can't not see this game. I have a good idea Michigan's going to beat Iowa, so I feel okay with that. But I got to make sure that I watch the Alabama game. So, you know, the day was on pause, holds, until the Alabama game was over. So she has to put up with a lot. And actually, we're watching the Jimmy V Classic on ESPN in the studio, and that's the actual reason why I don't have a show tonight, because the Jimmy V Classic is on. So that's going to take us throughout the course of the night. And there's one week in late December, right around Christmas, a whole week where there's, like, nothing but bowl games. Nothing but bowl games. So there's, like, I want to say it's like 4 days in a row that I don't have a show because there's bowl games. So then they were like, well, is there any days in December that you need to have off? So I was like, well, if I already have these 4 days off, I might as well take Monday and I might as well take Friday and turn it into a whole week. So, yeah, late December, there's actually a whole week. It's like a vacation week without having vacation. So
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I didn't have a choice. I can't make them not have a bowl
just
game
enjoy
on.
Enjoy it.
Oh, I will.
No, that's great though.
No, it is. It's well great. It's I mean, it's cool. It's
I ain't gonna lie.
It's a nice tip of the cap. You're just
helps
like
me a little.
I know, but helps you a little. Helps you a lot.
Helps me a lot. Yes.
Peel back the curtain. Ari produces my Locked On Raider podcast on YouTube. He produces it every day, and normally he gets it late because, well, I don't get off the air till 10, so then I don't start the podcast till after 10, and he gets it around midnight on good days.
Actually, last night might have been your record. It was a little closer to 11:30.
Yeah.
World record.
There you go. There you go. So, see, I try to do my best, man. I try to get it to you as quickly as possible. But at the same time, you got to make sure the quality's there. So you can't rush the quality.
It is always there. I will say it's always worth the wait because, you know, I don't get some half-assed email at 12 midnight talking about, I need an hour.
Right, right. Or here you go. Do the best you can with this.
Yeah.
This is a disaster.
No, sir.
But do the best you can. No, so, yeah, so that's kind of what the rest of the month looks like. It's going to be kind of up in air. And that's what happens with bowl season and also what happens when you have, you know, some big-time games that you want to you got to focus. I mean, like I said, I can't tell ESPN National to – oh, hey, man, I need to be on the air tonight. You're going to have to move that to somewhere else. I used to say that at ESPN Central Texas. I used to get mad because our show was during the midday, and so sometimes there'd be a baseball game, a Rangers game, like midday, and they stunk at the time. It's like they won the World Series this year, so that makes sense. But when they stunk, I was like, why are they interrupting our show? Put them on stage D. And I used to compare it to, like, a stripper. And I did, and this is no joke. And it was a little aggressive. It was a little aggressive for Central Texas. Like, they might not – like, here in Vegas, it would be no big deal if I say it. But in Central Texas, everyone kind of cringed when I'd say it. I'd be like, look, put them on stage B. They're the warm-up before the real act. Nobody really pays attention to them.
Yeah.
They'll be on as background noise. And maybe some, you know, some slappy will go and throw them a couple bucks. And that's it, because they stink. and then we can do our radio show, and we're good. So there's that. But I can't obviously go with that approach with ESPN National. They might not appreciate that as much as, you know.
I've seen that approach in this building as well from others.
Yeah, it doesn't work, right? Yeah.
It could be the Super Bowl, though, and said person might be like, oh, I mean.
Well, that's maybe, that's just because Steve's crazy.
Yeah.
Steve's crazy like me in a good way.
Since you pulled back the curtain. Right. Cofield. No, he wants to work all the time. Obviously, right. Super Bowl, but I could see him being like, I mean, if there's an extra hour, I'll sneak in.
Right.
So props to him.
Yeah, love. No, he is just as insane as I am when it comes to this, and that's why we get along so well. Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's not talk about strippers and Super Bowls. Let's talk to Hardcore Raider. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, man, hopefully you get a little time off, but, you know, the Raiders play on Christmas Day, so are you going to get any time available with the family, or are you going to be stuck having to cover the Raiders that day?
No, I'm covering the Raiders that day, but that is one of the days I'm off on ESPN National, so I'll watch the game early in the morning, and I'll have the rest of the day to chill.
That's good. Well, hopefully it's a good Christmas for all of us somehow with that game coming up.
Big facts.
Hey, so Aiden O'Connell, look, I like him. I think he's got potential. But we got to fix the offensive line, man.
Okay.
This thing has to be bolstered. So what I'm going to say, though, is if that run back happens, I'm not against it if the offensive line is addressed. But Aiden O'Connell, in my opinion, has to work on two key elements that can make him from a good or okay quarterback to potentially a great quarterback if we have a line that can block for him. And that is to take a page out of Peyton Manning's playbook. I don't care if he's got to go to the Peyton Manning camp to learn it or to figure it out. But you know, if you look at Peyton Manning, the two things that always stood out to me is, one, the way that he would, like, not look at the wide receiver that he wanted to throw the ball to, and at the last second, he would, you know, he would stare in the opposite direction and then look to who he wanted to throw it to, and then, boom, it'd be on point. The other thing is he wasn't, like, a mobile quarterback, but his footwork and how fast he moved his feet always in the pocket until the last second when he went to throw the ball or half second was immaculate. You know, that was a guy who was not athletic at all, but worked on foot drills, having fast feet. And Aiden O'Connell, if he can gain those two skill sets, not looking off your wide receivers and having quicker feet, I think he's got a lot of potential. But he's really got to develop, I think, those two key areas since he's not a mobile-style quarterback.
I like it. I like it. Good stuff, Hardcore. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. And, you know, there's obviously room to grow. That's the thing about it, and that's why I really kind of posed the question out there, was because there is room to grow, and if it's a 100% focus, like, okay, dude, you're the guy. So then that gives him the time to go and put the work in, get all the first-team reps, get all the attention with the OC, get the attention with the head coach, and not have to feel like, all right, well, I got to earn a couple snaps here. I got to earn a couple snaps here. My only feature is going to be in preseason and nothing else, right? I mean, so that's where, you know, it's kind of coming from, and I think it's a healthy conversation, and I really do feel like it's a conversation that the Raiders front office is having. If they're not having it right now, they will be having it sooner rather than later. Or you know what? They probably already had it, you know, and they continue to have those kind of conversations. Obviously, none of this matters if the same folks aren't in place, right? The same front office and the coaching staff, because if someone all new comes in, then all bets are off. Then who knows exactly what they're going to want to do? Because as we very well know, our guys, my guys, their guys are what happens whenever you switch staffs. I don't care who it is. It's always they're going to switch up. Who's there? Who's not there? Who's going to be there? Whatever the case may be. If it's not right away, it's sooner rather than later. I got a text here that I wanted to get to. Don't forget, coming up at around 4:30, Coach Altake from Liberty High School. He'll join us to talk all things girls flag football and the fact that that's a scholarship sport. He won the Tom Flores High School Football Coach of the Week Award, and you'll hear from him coming up at 4:30. But we got this text from Sir Whiskey Ray, Q&RE. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Fantastic topic today, and here's my take. Let's see what O'Connell does here the last five games. I like the kid, and it also seems as his teammates have his back as well. I'm rooting for him, but as well you know, this is what you have done for me lately, league. And then the page just blocked. All right, here we go. I think realistically we can go 4-1 the last five games here. Thanks as always, gentlemen. I'm feeling a double-digit win come Sunday. That's from Sir Whiskey Ray. Really good stuff. Appreciate you. And, Ari, I don't know if you ran into that problem every once in a while when a new text comes in. We're learning how to work this new text line. Yeah. Yes.
There's a couple things.
It's a little couple tweaks here and there.
I will just say generically, the good certainly outweighs the bad.
Oh, there's no doubt.
There's barely any bad.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Every once in a while, though, we'll get a little, it'll get a little froggy and it'll move right in the middle of a conversation or we're reading it. And then all of a sudden it's like, pause.
It also, just to add this, it moves sometimes. So I quickly look like, oh, there's a new text. And then there's no new text for some
reason. Right. It does.
So just
it does do that too. I don't know
it's
why.
Working.
But I'll tell you, we've got so many texts today. It's awesome. It's showing right now one of 80 text messages, and I think we've got about 40 on the show today. So definitely appreciate all the feedback. Like Vegas Pete, I think people on audition and front office evaluations is accurate this season. And there it goes. It moves. Just as we said it. O'Connell, I think, should be our quarterback and use free agency and draft to fill other holes. Don't forget, he's a rookie. I keep Kelly and AP also. The O-line is holding back our offense, not the quarterback. That's Vegas Pete. I like that. Really good stuff. We'll get one more text in. Hopefully it doesn't move. This one's from Rob in Oakland. Here's my logic. Irrespective of who the starting quarterback is, the team must be built up along the lines. Some skill positions more than others. I don't think Aiden's style of play requires any special accommodations. In that respect, I'm okay with having Aiden as a starter with 2 to 3 new quarterbacks in the offseason to improve the quality of the quarterback room. This is a quarterback-rich draft, which means one, we may have less competition for one we really like, and two, this may be a good draft to draft two quarterbacks like Washington did with RG3 and Kirk Cousins, but the next 5 games will give us more data on Aiden. Let's see what he shows us. Right now, I like the kid. That's from Rob in Oakland. Really good stuff. What got you laughing so much?
Ray. Ray's got another one.
Oh, man. He's firing on. What'd he say?
Q, I love me some Reggie Bush. He will always be my number one boo.
Oh.
That tape should have been us instead of Ray J. Sincerely, wow. Kim Kardashian. Cheers,
of course,
Sir Whiskey Ray.
Of course that made you laugh, you 12-year-old.
It's funny.
It is funny.
In a childish way.
In a 12-year-old's type of way. It's like the 12-year-old that got his hands on his first Playboy. Like, oh my gosh, everybody come over and look. I had some neighbors back at my mama's house, and we had some neighbors that their dad, he used to have the channels that cost extra money to have. You know what I mean? Like, he'd get home and watch those channels. He'd turn all the blinds down so nobody could look in. I'm just telling you what he used to do. He used to live on the corner next to my mama's house. But he had a large collection of magazines, and his sons used to come outside. They were twins. They used to come outside all the time and be like, hey, my dad got the new magazine, and he left it out. So, as all 12-year-olds do, well, they acted a little crazy.
Then you bring it to school and you get in trouble.
No, wait.
Not me. That's what happened in my school. I remember.
I'm about to say, I didn't do that.
I'm not saying you did. Mama Q, it's okay.
I'm about to say, man. Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
That was the other Q. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
that happened. No, 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 no.
I didn't do that.
That happened at my school. And I don't even remember the name. I think his name was Paul. But yeah, he was, you know, guys, check it out. That kind of thing. And someone caught wind. That was the end of that.
You always had a friend that had one of them Dirty Booty magazines, and he'd always bring it out. And then the other thing that would always happen is you would always go to a friend's house who pops would have, like, the Jet magazine or another magazine, and they'd have it buried in the bathroom under some other magazines. And randomly, while you're going through the other magazines, like, oh, I've seen this Sports Illustrated. Oh, I've seen this Sports.
Whoa,
I haven't seen this Sports Illustrated. Wink, wink. And the Jet magazine conveniently fit inside the Sports Illustrated because it was always small.
That's a great point, actually.
Oh, man. Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week. I didn't miss out on that, and I never had a subscription. I'll just tell you, brother. I never had a subscription, but, man, that Jet Beauty magazine with the Beauty of the Week, never missed it.
Good advice from Q if you're
I'm just saying.
If you're 12 listening
to
this program.
They don't make them like they used to, brother.
No,
they
sir.
Don't make them like they used to. Coach Al Takei, Liberty High School girls flag football. He'll join the show next. He is the Tom Flores High School Football Coach of the Week Award recipient. You'll hear from him next on Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
It's time for Q's weekly interview with the Tom Flores High School Coach of the Week here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
And joining us now on the phone lines is the Tom Flores High School Football Coach of the Week Award recipient. That's Coach Al Takei from Liberty High School Girls Flag Football. And Coach, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. Off top, I want to congratulate you on the award. Obviously, congratulate your team as well on the success that they're having. And I wanted to ask you just about girls flag football in general, the fact that it's being recognized now, it's a scholarship sport. How important and special is that?
It's very special. They're paving the way for, you know, the sport, and you know they got something bigger to look forward to with the you know Olympics, you know, announcing that they're gonna make, you know, a run for it for the girls 2028. It's huge for just the sport alone, and you know for these female athletes.
Right, absolutely. And what was the reaction and kind of what was the excitement level when Liberty put together their girls flag football team and the young ladies came out to participate? Like, how fired up were they for this opportunity?
Oh, they were fired up. I can't say, you know, they're limited with what they can do. And now they have another avenue to showcase their, you know, athleticism. It's huge. And when they were announced that this was something that's coming up for them. We had people come, you know, little girls coming out from the woodworks and just, you know, tons of girls coming out to try out and, you know, showcase what they are capable of.
That's awesome. Really is. Again, Coach Al Takei from Liberty High School Girls Flag Football Team is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Your team has found a lot of success early on, wins over Green Valley, Cimarron, Shadow Ridge, and Desert Oasis, and, of course, they're reigning state champs. What's been the key to your team's early success?
Right now, with the one key that I see is they're buying into the system that we're coming into. So they're trusting in what knowledge we have. You know, this is my first year coming in as the head coach for flag football for the girls. But we're implementing what we know from the boys' side. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been with the boys for years now. So having this chance, an opportunity to coach the girls up and them buying in is one of the key, you know, parts of our success.
What was, or when did you notice the buy-in? Was it immediate or was it a couple wins under your belt and then they realized, hey, okay, I see what they're trying to coach us up with?
To be honest with you, I think that first, that Lebanon Raiders tournament that we entered, found success, you know. Mm-hmm. They had to gel. They see what we are about, and then once they've seen the groove and what we can show them, it started clicking.
You mentioned, you know, coming over from the boys' side of thing, and of course, there's winning tradition there at Liberty. Does that help? Does that tradition that the Liberty has and established already with the boys' football, has that helped with kind of already saying there's a standard here at Liberty that we're going to uphold on the girls' side and the boys' side?
Oh, it helped tremendously. So they've seen the success, and they know that Liberty football, just not just Liberty football, it's just Liberty in general.
Right.
The foundation is a winning way, and so they bought in into that way. So it's a huge help.
Coach Al Takei from Liberty High School Girls Flag Football is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. He's the recipient of the Tom Flores High School Football Coach of the Week Award. And who are some of your standout players? Like who do you lean on? Who are kind of your captains on the field?
There's two girls that's standing out right now, Kaylee Phillips and Kilolo Westerland. They've been playing lights out football on both sides, you know, playing fast, alignment, assignment on both sides of the ball. When we're in tough situations, those two girls are go-to, you know. They've been making plays on both sides.
How important is that to have players that are dominating, like you mentioned, on both sides, especially in girls flag football?
It's very important. When you have girls that you can lean on with that skill level, it makes it easy as a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, they understand the game, they understand situations, so it makes it a lot less stress.
Correct.
Yeah. I can only imagine. And Coach, you mentioned that, you know, this is the first year on the girls' side of things for you. And, of course, this is an opportunity there at Liberty. But it's more about, you know, shaping young people's lives as well, not just X's and O's and wins and losses. So how important is that responsibility as a head coach for you?
It's very important. And it's an honor to kind of take on this responsibility. I've always... my philosophy is playing one play at a time, and you hear me, and you can ask the girls. I like to say turn the page. So with that being said, they're taking it one step at a time, regardless if it's a good play or a bad play, play the next play. So these girls have bought into that.
How important is that? Because that's not only just a, you know, a football lesson, but that's also a life lesson. You got to, you know, one day at a time, and you got to turn the page at a point and not think about what just happened and just move forward.
Absolutely. And like you just said, it is life lesson. So it's not just the X's and O's. It's life.
Right.
So just doing better.
Yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Again, we're speaking with Coach Al Takei from Liberty High School here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Just got a couple more questions for you. What's next? Is there a little break coming up for the holidays? What's the calendar looking like for Liberty?
So tonight we have our first league game against Silverado High School.
Ooh.
Hopefully, you know, we can have some success there. We have a game Thursday. Got a little break with finals for the girls, and then we have a game against Faith Lutheran next week Friday.
Okay, so what is it going to take to pick up the victory, kind of keep the party rolling, like continue to have the success that you guys have been having? What is going to be the keys to that?
I think they just gotta keep buying in and playing together as a team. Again, we did find some success here early on in the season, but to continue that, it's going to take some work. So we got to make sure we keep, you know, grinding and just putting our head down and just staying humble.
Final question for you. How much fun are the young ladies having? Obviously winning's fun, but how much fun are they having in general?
I think the atmosphere for Liberty girls flag football has changed, and it's on the rise. So they're having lots of fun.
That's what's most important.
It makes my job easy because you know, all I see are happy faces.
Right. I know that's right. It's nothing like some happy teenagers, right?
Yeah.
I know that's right. Well, Coach, congratulations again on the recipient of the Tom Flores High School Football Coach of the Week Award. I know that's a program award. I know it's for your team and your coaches that you have around you, but the success that you're having early on at Liberty as well. Congratulations. We appreciate you. We'll definitely be paying attention the rest of the way.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
Absolutely. You do the same, Coach. Coach Al Takei right there, Liberty High School Girls Flag Football, Tom Flores High School Football Coach of the Week Award recipient with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll close out the show just like that on a Tuesday. It is Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
Many thanks to Coach Al Takei, Liberty High School girls flag football coach, joined us. He's the Tom Flores High School Football Coach of the Week Award recipient. We do that each and every week during not only boys football, but girls flag football as well. Something that the Raiders take a lot of pride in as they give back to the community. And that's very, very important. Had some fantastic guests on the show today, from John McClain from Sports Radio 610, Lincoln Kennedy, former Raider offensive lineman. You just heard from Coach Al Takei. Of course, you heard from Robert Gallery earlier in the show as well. And of course, you, Raider Nation, at 702-365-9200. That is the Raider Nation listener line and the don'tbebroke.com text line. And with that very number, you're going to get your opportunity to get in to win the ultimate Raiders hookup. What is that? Well, a couple of field passes, a couple of tickets to the game, not to mention an autographed jersey. And what game is it? Well, we're talking about the game coming up December 14th, that Thursday night game at Allegiant Stadium versus the Chargers. We do the ultimate Raiders hookup probably like twice a year, each and every year. We're doing it again, trying to get you in Allegiant Stadium. We're going to get you before the show's over. And you can look at the time right now. It's 4:46. Before the time is over, we're going to get you in to win your opportunity to be in Allegiant Stadium. So we'll get you registered. My man Ari's standing by, so he'll hook that up. We'll be looking for caller number 9. Not now yet. I know you're getting a little froggy. Don't leap yet. You can leap in a few minutes, and we'll let you know before we get up out of here. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll definitely take care of you. But
We do want to go to the text line. As a matter of fact, we got a bunch of feedback on the subject that we had today when we came to, you know, Aiden O'Connell and him potentially running it back. And this is really where the conversation came from and where it really started. This is something that we had yesterday on the show. We had EJ Snyder from Bootleg Football, and I was asking him a bunch of different questions. He put out a really good video on YouTube with his partner about, you know, teams that are in NFL purgatory. So I asked him the question, same as I'm really asking today, if the Raiders had an opportunity, would he does he think that they may run it back next year with Aiden O'Connell and try to build the team around him?
That's a terrific question. It's the one they're going to have to answer, and their answer might be different than mine, but let's just take a look at the last month, because when you're not the full-time starter, you're not getting reps with the one. So people might look at Aiden O'Connell's earlier appearances and sort of lump them in with his more recent work, and I think that's a mistake. We should probably just look at the last month since he was anointed the starter, since he's been the leader of the team. And if you look at yards, he's 16th in the league in that time. He's only 1 yard behind Mahomes, interestingly enough. In TDs, he's tied for 20th. Interceptions, he's tied for 6th, and that's 6th most. That's not great. Only 6 sacks, tied for 26th. That's least. That's good. That's low. And in terms of straight completion percentage, 63%, which puts him right in the middle of the pack at 14th. So when you look at the sort of what I'll just call the top-level stats, it's a pretty average picture. It's fine. You know, he's a rookie starter. But when you go into the advanced stats, I think you start to see some things that are more interesting. In terms of big-time throws, which is the stat that PFF measures, he's tied for 15th for turnover-worthy plays. He's also tied for 15th. In terms of turnover-worthy plays, in terms of percentage for all the throws he's had, he's only 2.9%, and that's 23rd. That's good. That's low. Strangely enough, he's only had 4 of those, and he's had 4 interceptions in that time, so he's gotten pretty unlucky. When the defense has had the chance, they've picked it off. That doesn't usually happen at that higher rate. In terms of average depth of target, he's 17th. He's average time to throw, which is usually a little bit more for rookies learning the pocket in the NFL, is 2.52 seconds. That's 5th fastest in the NFL in the last month. So we're seeing some good things from him. And when you look at the adjusted completion percentage, which takes out things like drops and throwaways and all that stuff, he's 9th in the league. He's top 10 at 76.1% adjusted completion percentage. So I think there's enough early signals from a guy like Aiden O'Connell that he is pushing the ball down the field. He is understanding the offense. We're seeing growth. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders run it back with him next year, put some more pieces around him, and say that's the way they want to go for next year, and they'll spend their assets to build the rest of the team.
So that's where the topic for today really came from, is the conversation that we had yesterday with EJ Snyder from Bootleg Football. Really good stuff. You want to check him out on YouTube. Him and his partner do a hell of a job. Went through every team that's really kind of in NFL purgatory. What does that mean? Well, kind of stuck in the middle, right? They're not bad enough to pick super early in the draft, but they're not good enough to make a deep run. And the Raiders have been kind of stuck in that middle pack where they're not picking too early. And they're obviously not making a deep playoff run either. They've been stuck in that spot for a quick minute. And so he's you know, put out that video, and I thought it was really good. That's why we had him as a guest on the show yesterday. And so that was one of the questions that I had to him, or I asked him, and that was the response that you heard right there. Mark hit us up on the DobieBroke.com text line, said, I'd be okay building around Aiden O'Connell. Still need to draft a quarterback and a back with speed. Most teams have that. We don't. That's Mark in Jersey. I like that. How about this one from 815 Raider? 815 Raider for life, as a matter of fact, said, Q, tell Aiden and Bo to study Raiders playbook the year after Gruden was traded. First round, Rich Gannon was it. Aiden could be that type of quarterback without a doubt. We definitely need another Charlie Garner-style running back and give Aiden a new number next year. Go Raiders. That's from 815 Raider Nation for life. Definitely appreciate that. Then he mentioned playoff game against Titan Steve McNair. Not too sure. Maybe that's a late text that came through at some other point. Not too sure. But a lot of good feedback there. Definitely appreciate everyone that chimed in on the show today talking about that subject or any other subject. And coming up tomorrow, we'll start to turn the page to the Minnesota Vikings Week 14 action. Excited about the next opportunity we have to be inside Allegiant Stadium. Of course, we'll have Q's kickoff starting at 10 a.m. Pass the sticks on to JT the Brick and Eric Allen. We'll lead you right up to kickoff. And then it'll be, like I said, another game. And the Raiders are sitting there in the 13th spot right now in the AFC, which obviously is clearly out of the playoffs. It's not a good spot to be at 13. But With that being said, four out of the next five games are against AFC opponents, so that's a good thing if they're trying to make some moves going up against in the AFC. And Ari's over there across from me making a face. You're up there laughing like a 12-year-old. Here we go with the 12-year-old Ari. What's going on, dude?
Y'all
going
to laugh right with me. He's referring to the game in which Raiders won 41-24. Rich Gannon went 29-41, 286 yards, three touchdowns, had a rushing touchdown as well.
Okay, so that's what he's.
That's why I'm smiling. Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, I thought you were smiling because you're a 12-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's also true, but yeah.
This is why I can't hang out in the studio, because see, I see Ari making all these weird faces.
You see him on the screen too, anyway.
Yeah, but you don't really make the faces like that. Like all of a sudden, I start seeing you smile, this, that, and the other, and start laughing. And I'm like, what is this dude goofing on?
I'm going to tell you my secret right now, because you can't beat it anyway. It's to the screen is to my right.
Right.
And so anytime I think I'm going to make weird looks or something that's going to throw you off that I don't want you to see, I just look forward at my other screen here. And unless you can see through that little tiny camera that my cheeks are moving, that I'm smiling or frowning,
right,
I'm in the clear.
So it's similar to when I'm sitting there at the Oyo and the camera's on me and I throw my hands up because I asked a really good question.
Yep.
And that's what's funny. I do that all the time. Anytime. This is, again, taken behind the scenes. I do this all the time. It doesn't matter what radio show I'm on. I promise you. I've been doing it for years. This is what I do. Anytime you ask somebody a question and they say that's a really good question, I always throw both my hands up and kind of make that motion like, yeah, bring it to me. Give me some. I do that. So the other day, not this last week at the Oyo, but I think it was last week. Wasn't it at the Oyo last week when I did that and you got all panicked because you thought we fell off the air?
Something like that. Either that or you had some other motion that you were doing. Maybe you might have been expressing something to someone there physically, and I saw your arm move out of the corner of my eye. And it clearly wasn't directed to me, but that's how I am.
Right, right. Well, because we've had history.
That's true,
at
too.
At the Oyo where suddenly we're talking,
right, yes.
And then all of a sudden we somehow were off the air. So when I did that, I saw that look in your face, and I realized, I was like, oh, damn, I actually can't make those kind of motions there because that's going to make him panic into, yeah. And then even on, what day was that? Oh, that was, where was I? I wasn't at Buffalo Wild Wings. Where was I? Was I at home? Was I at the home studio when? Oh, I was. I was at the home studio last Friday because remember I wasn't at Buffalo Wild Wings because we had a bye, so we didn't have a show on the road. And remember when we had the power surge?
Yes.
And I start panicking. I'm looking at my equipment. I'm like, what the hell's going on? One, I'm panicking because I'm thinking my equipment disconnected from the studio. Two, I got another radio show to do, and I was like, wait a minute, hold on, this can't happen. And then to find out that we had a power surge in the studio, so I was flipping out.
We had a power surge on the block, where the fault was.
Look at this guy. He got territorial on you real quick.
Bring it here. Put the cue motion up.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you. So that's the kind of stuff, the shenanigans that we have around here. We go through these trials and tribulations, but we come out on top.
And we got some good stuff to give you as well.
Yeah, we do. Caller number nine. How about caller number nine right now? 702-365-9200. We're going to get you in to win the Ultimate Raiders hookup. Those are tickets to the game on the 14th versus the Chargers. A couple field passes, plus an autographed jersey. Caller number nine is what we're looking for right now. 702-365-9200. My man Ari is standing by, ready to make you a winner and get you in to win the Ultimate Raiders hookup. Only with Raider Nation Radio 920. Have a great evening.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.